Have you ever broken a promise? You don't need to answer that question out loud, but we all know the long, sad history of political promises, right? Let me share a few highlights from our own nation's history. In 1916, a little over 100 years ago, Woodrow Wilson campaigned for re-election. You remember his campaign, right, Woodrow Wilson? He promised to keep us out of war. And then, 29 days into his second term, he asked Congress to declare war on Germany. Herbert Hoover then came along, and he promised an era of prosperity. Remember what he said? A chicken in every pot, which at that time was considered a wonderful thing. That was his promise. And then, during his first year in office, the stock market collapsed, and our nation descended into the Great Depression. Then 1940, FDR promised, your boys are not going to be sent to any foreign wars. And then in 1941, the U.S. declared war on Japan and Germany. In our more recent history, you'll remember this one, I know, 1988, George Bush, running for election after Ronald Reagan, said, read my lips, no new taxes. And 2 years later, he signed in one of the largest tax increases in our nation's history. In more recent times, PolitiFact, which is a political news organization, counted 533 promises made by President Barack Obama. And in 8 years, more than half of them were broken. And of course, Mexico never did pay for the border wall. We're equal opportunity here, right? We all break promises. It's easy to pick on politicians, of course, but we've all done it too, right? We've broken a promise. We've made a commitment only to kind of let it slide by the wayside. And we also know what it feels like when someone else doesn't keep their word to us. Well, the good news for us today, and the good news that we celebrate all through Advent and at the Christmas season, is that God makes promises and always, always keeps His word. He always fulfills His promise. So Thanksgiving has come and gone, and we're now entering into Advent, and for the next 4 weeks we're going to be preparing our hearts for the Christmas celebration, and we're going to remember how God kept His promise to send the Savior. And so this morning we're going to start Advent by reading a prophecy delivered by Isaiah, which is about a great promise that God made, a promise to comfort His people. And it was a promise made 700 years before Jesus came, and then fulfilled in an ultimate sense when Jesus was born. But listen to these words from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, beginning at verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Christmas is a celebration of promises kept. God said over and over in the Old Testament, I will send my Savior. I will come and redeem my people. I will take away your sins. I will give you hope. I will give you new life. Over and over again, that was the message of the prophets. It was even what was symbolized in the law and in the temple and the worship of God's people all throughout the Old Testament. They were looking ahead. They were waiting for that promise finally to be fulfilled. And the promise of Christmas shines forth from nearly every page of the Old Testament. If you want to see it there, if you look carefully, you will see it all throughout the words of the Old Testament. And God has kept every single promise that He made. Isaiah 40 is one of the most beautiful Christmas promises that looks ahead to the coming of the Messiah. And so as we look at these words delivered 700 years before Jesus was born, we'll discover the ways that He kept His Word, that God fulfilled His promise. And so we start with this. God promised to forgive our sins. God promised that He would forgive our sins. Verse 2, it says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. Her sin has been paid for. Before Jesus' sin lingered, even among God's people. If you violated the law, if you hurt someone, if you told a lie, if you did any number of transgressions or in many ways broke God's word, then you had to pay for that transgression. People of the Old Testament would have to bring a sacrifice or an offering, some sort of what we might call penance, some way that they attempted to make up for the bad things that they had done. And yet, even with all that they had brought to God, all the sacrifices and offerings that would be brought to the temple, even then the spiritual stain of sin remained. Because they were powerless to take away the eternal spiritual consequences for their own sin. And so in that sense, people were separated from God. Their relationship with God was fractured in a lasting sense. And there was no one who could make atonement for their own sin. Now that was a bad situation for the people of the Old Testament. And they carried around that weight, even as they read the promises of God, even as they looked forward to the Savior coming one day, they carried that burden of sin in their lives. And it was bad for the people, but it also bothered God. It was also a concern that grieved God. And so He made a promise. One day, I will take away your sins. Before Jesus was born, the angel came and appeared to Joseph. You remember the story. Mary had already been told that she would have a child, but Joseph was concerned because he didn't understand what was happening with the woman to whom he was engaged to be married. And so the angel came and said to Joseph, this is in Matthew chapter 1, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. God kept his promise. And we worship the Savior who does take away our sins. Now Isaiah also announced this, that God promised to come and be with us. Come and be with us. In verse 3, back in Isaiah 40, it says, and these are words that we often connect with John the Baptist, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And those words gave the message that we know came through John the Baptist. John was the one who came proclaiming, make the way straight, be ready, the Savior's coming, the Lamb of God is about to be born. But that message was first delivered through Isaiah. Build a highway. Make straight and level the path because someone special is coming. And it's not just someone like a king. It's not just someone like a ruler. It's not just someone like you've ever seen before coming. But the one coming will be the King of Glory. He is the one coming. And as you read this prophecy, again, 700 years before Jesus was born, you have to wonder, how did the people of Isaiah's time read and understand those words? Could they have fathomed that this was actually the way God would fulfill that promise? Maybe they thought it was just some poetic exaggeration. Surely God Himself isn't coming. If we're going to make the way straight, if we're going to fill in the valleys and bring down the hills and make this highway, it can't be for God Himself. That can't be what He's saying. Isaiah had heard another message from God back in Isaiah chapter 7. It says, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. It's a Hebrew name that means God with us. Prepare your hearts. Open up your doors. God is coming. Not just someone who will talk about God. Not just someone who will remind us about God. Not just someone like a prophet. Not just someone like any of the great men or women of the Old Testament who had faith and trusted in God's promises. Not just someone who will talk about God, but God Himself is coming. God will come and be with you. God made that extraordinary promise. And then in a lonely stable outside a small town, a little baby was born and placed to sleep his first night in a manger, a feeding trough for the animals who lived in that little barn. And God kept His promise like He always does. Emmanuel was born. And they gave Him the name Jesus. Isaiah also tells us this, that God promised to keep His word forever. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The things of this world pass away, and we know that's true. We know it's true of our own lives and the people that we care about and all the things of this world. None of it lasts forever. It's not intended to. We deal with loss and disappointment. This world is full of unkept promises and broken dreams. But God's Word is not like that. God's Word lasts forever. His promises, His plans will always come to fulfillment. We belong to the faithful God who keeps His promises. Whenever God speaks, it is Him establishing the word of truth. When God speaks, He defines the reality of this world. And so we can believe that everything He says will come true or already has come true and will continue to be true in our lives. God first spoke the Christmas promise in the Garden of Eden. You remember Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent and they ate the fruit that God said they shouldn't eat from the tree there in the middle of the garden. And then God shows up and he speaks a word of condemnation over Adam and Eve, but also over the serpent who had tempted them. And in Genesis chapter 3, we read this. God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Satan may strike out at Jesus, may even nail him to a cross. But Satan will ultimately defeat, excuse me, Jesus will ultimately defeat Satan and sin and evil as though stepping on the head of the serpent, crushing him and defeating him eternally. From that very first moment of the first sin in the garden, God was ready with a plan to save us. God didn't wring his hands and wonder, oh, what am I going to do now? My people have sinned. They'll be cut off from me forever. No, he had a plan ready. A plan to deal with the sin of his people. A plan to forgive us and to offer us grace in place of judgment and eternal separation from him. And that plan, that promise, was kept many years later through Jesus' life and death and resurrection, as he defeated Satan and overthrew the effect of our sin. You see, God is faithful to all of his promises. Even when the forces of darkness muster their strength against him, our God never falls short. His word stands forever. And Isaiah was so excited about the promises that he had heard from God, he tells the messengers who are going to carry his prophecies out to the people of Israel, he says, go and shout it from the mountaintops. In verse 9, he says, you who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Here is your God. This is so important. It's so wonderful, Isaiah says. Everyone needs to hear this. People ask, who is God? What is God like? How does God respond to the issues in our lives, to our sin, to the problems that he sees? How does God respond to our prayers? And Isaiah knew exactly what God was like. He says, here is your God. This is what he's like. He is the God who makes promises and then keeps his word. He is the God who brings salvation to his people. He is the God who offers grace even to sinners. He is the God who comes to be with us, to live among us in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the God whose word never fails. There's one more promise that we need to see here in Isaiah 40. God promised a Savior who is both powerful and loving. Both powerful and loving. It's been said that a good father is strong enough to protect his children and yet loving enough never to use his strength against his own family. And that same perfect balance that we so rarely see among people, that perfect balance is how God treats us. He is both powerful and loving. And he promised to send us a Savior with the very same qualities. And so it says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. But then it also says, he tenders his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And that is the Jesus we know, isn't it? Strong enough to cast out demons, and yet loving enough to welcome children and hold them in his arms. Powerful enough to heal diseases and to walk on water and to calm storms and even to raise the dead. And yet loving enough to look on our needs with compassion. We worship the Savior who is both great and good, who is both mighty and merciful. God promised to send his powerful love, and he kept that promise. Listen to the words of the Good Shepherd. Listen to what Jesus said. This is in John chapter 10. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice and I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Because our Savior is powerful enough to save us, powerful enough to protect us, powerful enough to answer our prayers, powerful enough that no one can ever take us away from God and His love, and yet He is the Good Shepherd who watches over us and tends to all of our needs. Let me add one more thought this morning as we enter into the Christmas season. I know Christmas can, for some, be a sad and lonely time. You may, especially during this time of year, think back on those who have passed on before you, those who you miss, those you can't be with during this special time of year. And you may think back to times when things seemed better, when you didn't have the sorrows that maybe you have today or the regrets that you carry with you today. And so those feelings may mingle in with the joy of the season. And we know this year particularly has been hard for a lot of people. And it may, just as Thanksgiving was different for many families this year, Christmas may also be different this year. Maybe you won't be able to see your loved ones. Maybe you won't be able to travel to see distant relatives, or they won't be able to come see you. And maybe you won't even be able to be in the same room with a spouse or a child or a grandparent. And there are many people who will be in that situation this season. So when you find yourselves in moments like that, remember God's faithfulness and cling to the promises that He has made us. Certainly the promise to send the Savior that we know is fulfilled and that we celebrate at the Christmas season, but also these promises. God said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." He also said, "All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved." He said, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God." And then Jesus said, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world and all of its hardships and all of its troubles and all of its fears. I've overcome the world," Jesus tells us. Our Savior was born at Christmas to bring us peace and hope and joy. He came to set things right that had been broken and put wrong. God makes wonderful promises, and He keeps every single one. So let's give thanks. Let's give thanks for God's faithfulness today. Lord, we do thank You today for Your love, for Your grace, for Your power, for Your goodness to us. We thank You that You promised to send the Savior, and then You did. And we look back on Jesus' birth and we celebrate His coming into the world. But Lord, we also look ahead to His second coming. We hold fast to that promise, knowing that just as You've been faithful in the past, You are still good and true to Your word today and will be forever and ever. So Lord, help us to walk with faith. Help us to trust the promises that You have made. Help us to depend on the good news that we find in Your word. And Lord, help us also to share Your goodness and Your faithfulness with others so that they can hear the story of the Savior and rejoice just as we rejoice. Lord, we love You and we pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus.